वासुदेवाय सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 43 टेक्स्ट नंबर 23 टू 31 फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सो हियर वी हैव टेक्स्ट नंबर 23 रिटन विल फर्स्ट चैंट दिस एंड देन लेटर विल गो टू द वर्सेस अहेड एतौ भगवतः साक्षाद् हरेर्नारायणस्य हि अवतीर्णाव अहिम इहांशेन वसुदेवस्य वेश्मनि एतौ भगवतः साक्षाद् हरेर्नारायणस्य हि अवतीर्णाव इहांशेन वसुदेवस्य वेश्मनि एतौ भगवतः साक्षाद् हरेर्नारायणस्य हि अवतीर्णाव इहांशेन वसुदेवस्य वेश्मनि भगवतः साक्षात् वसुदेवस्य वेश्मनि नारायणस्य हि वसुदेवस्य वेश्मनि एतौ भगवतः साक्षाद् गणस्य हि अवतीर्णाव इहांशेन एतौ भगवतः साक्षाद् माताजी वस्य वेश्मनि विल इट द वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन एतौ दीज टू भगवतः ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड साक्षात डायरेक्टली हरे ऑफ लॉर्ड हरि नारायणस्य नारायण ही सर्टनली अवतीर्णौ have descended iha to this world amshena as expansions vasudevasya of vasudev veshmani in the home translation so this translation and then the succeeding translations are by the disciples of his divine grace ac bhaktivedanta swami srila prabhupada This particular shloka does not have purport, so we'll go on reading after this. Translation, the people said, so these are the people who are watching Krishna and Balaram come in to this wrestling arena. These are the Mathura Vasis. The people said, these two boys are certainly expansions of the Supreme Lord Narayan who have descended to this world in the home of Vasudev. Next text. This one, they are pointing to Krishna, took birth from Mother Devaki and was brought to Gokul, where he has remained concealed all this time, growing up in the house of King Nanda. Next, he made Putana and the whirlwind demon meet with death, pulled down the twin Arjuna trees, and killed Shankhachuda, Keshi, Dhenuka, and similar demons. Next, he saved the cows and the cowherds from a forest fire and subdued the serpent Kaliya. He removed Lord Indra's false pride by holding up the best of mountains with one hand for an entire week, thus protecting the inhabitants of Gokul from rain, wind, and hail. The gopis, this is the next shloka. The gopis overcame all kinds of distress and experienced great happiness by seeing his face, which was always cheerful with smiling glances and ever free from fatigue. Text number 29. It is said that under his full protection, the Yadu dynasty will become extremely famous and attain wealth, glory, and power. Text 30. This lotus-eyed elder brother of his, Lord Balram, is the proprietor of all transcendental opulences. He has killed Pralamba, Vatsaka, Baka, and other demons. Purport. In fact, two of the demons mentioned here were killed by Krishna, not Balram. The reason for the mistake is that as news of Krishna's exploits spread among ordinary people, the facts became somewhat muddled. The same tendency can be observed in modern newspapers. Text number 31. Translation. While the people talked in this way and the musical instruments resounded, the wrestler Chanura addressed Krishna and Balram with the following words. So his words are there in the succeeding shlokas, that is text 32 onwards. But the purport to text 31. Chanur could not tolerate that the audience was praising Krishna so highly. Therefore, he had to say something to the two brothers. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम राम हरे हरे Before beginning the class, we would like to offer our humble pranams to all the devotees assembled here and seek their blessings so that we can speak something. After the recent festival for the last 2 days, this not much time to prepare, and also since yesterday there was no class, so then yesterday's shlokas were also added today. So some points that came to our understanding when we were reading the shlokas. There are two broad ways to get attracted to Krishna. His opulence, which is called Aishwarya, and his sweetness, which is called Madhurya. Krishna is multifaceted, infinite faceted. So he has both. These are two broad categories. Within that there are many subcategories. But he always has all these qualities. It's called Purna Purushottam Bhagavan. Purna Purushottam means he has all the opulences in full and he can display it whenever he wants. But generally speaking, in Vrindavan, he manifests more of his sweetness. And outside Vrindavan, generally he tends to manifest his Aishwarya. So here we see from text number 23 to text number 31. The citizens of Mathura are speaking and they are more attracted. It is coming out spontaneously. They are attracted to Krishna's killing of demons, the giant Arjuna trees being pulled down. So one devotee was sharing how amongst all the trees, Arjuna trees are those trees which are very difficult to pull down. They are very strong in their roots. And these were for a special purpose there. For thousands and thousands of years they were there. They are more interested in Krishna's saving his friends from a forest fire. They are more interested in Krishna's chastising the serpent Kaliya who had poisoned the big lake within Yamuna. They are more interested in Krishna's smashing a demigod's pride, Indra's pride. And they also mention in all these 10 shlokas that they are glorifying Krishna. One shloka is, he also removed the distress of the gopis by his smiling glances. Their expectation from Krishna is, when he comes and stays with the Yadus will get wealth, glory and power in his presence. So there is clear expression of their fondness for Krishna's power. They recognize his sweetness, but the way they are naturally attracted to Krishna's Aishwarya. From one perspective, just to go deeper into this, the Mathura Vasis, they were ruled by Kamsa, and Kamsa is a tyrant. But if you see, you know, when there is a bad governance, so Kamsa is a tyrant, he does not love his subjects, he wants them to bend as per his rules, he exploits them. But when there is bad governance, in one sense, because the whole thing is corrupt, it does not trouble you on a daily basis. And there is this example of a frog when he is put into water and that water is slowly boiled, little by little. The frog does not understand that I am getting boiled and very soon he finds himself cooked. But the same frog when he is taken and then put forcibly into hot water, he'll immediately jump out. So when things have been rotting from a long time, it does not affect you much because you are part of it. It has already gone inside.
But when a gentleman is suddenly put into a rotten environment, into a contaminated environment, then the difference is very stark. Yes? So from that perspective, the Mathuravasis, they always have faced exploitation by the hands of Kamsa. It was not sudden. It wasn't one day affair. So in that sense, we are saying that they did not have much calamities on a day-to-day basis. They were also part of the same system. Whereas the Vrajvasis, when we talk of the Vrajvasis, life was so sweet, life was so nice. Everything was, they had a closed community as far as dealings are concerned. Their business was with outsiders. But they were self-satisfied, contented. But as soon as Kamsa shifted his gaze to Vrindavan, as soon as Krishna was born there, day in and day out, there was one calamity after another. So till the time Krishna was not there, it is one calamity after another. Morning, afternoon, evening. Before that, life was very cool. Life was very peaceful. For the Mathuravasis, there is so much contamination. There is so many things wrong everywhere. So one will expect that the Vrajvasis are more attracted to Krishna's power. You know, there's so many calamities coming in our life. So if he grows up and he exhibits his power and he saves us from these calamities, how nice it will be. But interestingly, the Vrajvasis are attracted to the sweetness of Krishna. They are not concerned about his power. And the Mathuravasis, who are not attacked by one calamity after another on a daily basis, somehow or the other, they are attracted to Krishna's power. This is very interesting. It means the environment has some effect on us, but generally it is the swabhava. It is the mood of the person that determines to whom he will be attracted to. There is some influence of the environment, but here we can see that they are more attracted to the Aishwarya of Krishna. There is one beautiful shloka in the Bhagavatam which mentions that the pleasure of the Vrajvasis, this mentions, Iti Nanda Dayo Gopa Ram Krishna Katham Muda. So it is mentioned, all the Vrajvasis, they were completely blissful. Rama, Krishna, Katha, Muda. They used to just discuss on and on the activities of Krishna and Balram. And then it is mentioned, Kurvanto Rama Manascha, Na Vindam, Bhava Vedana. And in this way, because they were completely blissful talking about Krishna, discussing about Krishna, Na Vindam, they did not even understand Bhava Vedana, the difficulties of their life. Completely blissful. So we can understand, Krishna can remove the distress from devotee's life, either by his affectionate dealings, by his smiling at them, or he can come in his majestic way and destroy the demons, destroy the troubles that are affecting his devotees. He has both possibilities. He has a choice. Which of these two does he like the most? So in the Chaitanya Charitamrit, it is mentioned, Aishwarya jnane te sab jagat mishrita, Aishwarya shithila preme nahi mora prita. So Krishna is speaking, Lord Chaitanya is speaking, saying, Aishwarya jnane te sab jagat mishrita. The whole world, when it approaches me, the Supreme Lord, it is Aishwarya jnana mishrita. There is some knowledge, some expectation of my power, and that's why they approach me with awe and reverence. But Lord Chaitanya is saying, this awe and reverence does not raise the dealings, it makes it shithila. Shithila means it makes it shallow. Aishwarya shithila preme nahi mora prita. But I am not attracted to such love which becomes shallow by the knowledge of my great powers. So we'll discuss a little bit on this dynamics of Aishwarya and Prema. On one side, Krishna expands himself as the Paramatma to enter every single atom, to accompany every living entity, Andantarastha, Paramanu Chayantarastham. Yesterday during the DT installation ceremony at GEV, His Holiness Bhakti Vidya Purna Swami Maharaj was saying something very simple, but he said it in a very striking way. He said, when Hiranyakashipu is looking at the pillar, he's seeing dead matter. He's seeing a pillar. And the same time, same moment, same place, he asks Prahlad. So Prahlad, do you see God here? And Prahlad is seeing the Swarupa of the Supreme Lord. He's seeing the Paramatma there, in every atom of that pillar. So yes, there is God here. So this is the Supreme Lord's amazing power, Aishwarya. keeping himself, Om Purnamadha Purnamidam, he expands into millions and trillions and unlimited forms as the Paramatma, situated everywhere. Then the second expansion that he makes out of a little bit of prema, some more prema added to this, is a deity form, the Vigraha form. This is also an exhibition of his power. It is motivated by prema, but this is exhibition of his power, that the supreme infinite can present himself in a finite form. So the, how can the infinite fit into the finite? Either you have to be finite or either you have to be infinite. But this is the infinite nature of the infinite Lord, that he can make himself presentable in a finite form. It has a shape, it has a form. The deity is not unlimited visibly. So this is also an exhibition of his Aishwarya, but it happens because of his prema for the devotees. Why would he come, leaving the spiritual world to this material world, expose himself to the envy of people here? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita last part, the last chapter is Shikshashtakam prayers. So the second shloka of the Shikshashtakam is Namna Makari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you see, then for every shloka, this is in Sanskrit, there are two or three explanatory shlokas in Bengali. So Lord Chaitanya is explaining this Namna Makari. So he says, why did the Supreme Lord present so many names? It is to reciprocate with the different desires of the different devotees. So different devotees have different desires. So he has many names. Partha Sarathi is his affection to Arjun. Gopinath is his affection to the gopis. And Vrindavan Bihari is his activities in relation to the Vrindavan forest. We'll take this a step ahead. So we have moved from Paramatma, which is Aishwarya, motivated by prema, to the living entities in general. He takes another step of prema and comes in the form of the deity, which is specifically for the devotees, because unless the devotee invokes the Lord does not come in the deity form. Now we'll take it a step ahead. 10th canto, Krishna visits Mithila. There is the king Bahulashwa, who is in the line of Janak Maharaj, and there is a Brahman called Shrutadev. So Krishna decides to visit Shrutadev and Bahulashwa. But why does Krishna go to meet his devotees? The devotee should go and meet Krishna. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that actually Shrutadev and Bahulashwa were great devotees of the Supreme Lord. And they had lot of responsibility of carrying out worship of the family deities. And because they had intense attachment for Krishna, and they had taken upon themselves deity worship very seriously, even though Krishna was personally present in Dwarka, they did not have time to let go of their responsibilities and go and visit Dwarka to see Krishna. Rather, they said, Krishna has come to my home in the form of the deity. I should stay attached to them. What is the result? The result of this is, Krishna who is in Dwarka is pulled by their love, is pulled by their sincerity. Not only he carries with him Shukdev. There are many other sages present in Dwarka at that time. He carries all of them. Krishna and his representatives go to meet the king in Mithila. So what is this? This is another step forward. He is already there in the form of Paramatma in Shrutadeva and Bahulashwa's heart. He is already there in the deity form in Shrutadeva and Bahulashwa's home. But this prema of Shrutadev and Bahulashwa is dragging him all the way from one part of the country, West India. He goes to Northeast India, Mithila, to meet Shrutadev and Bahulashwa, to give them his darshan. So this is Lord Krishna who is exhibiting his prema for these two devotees. But because we are discussing Aishwarya and Madhurya, how does he express his prema for the devotees? This is Aishwarya. He goes all the way there, and then when he reaches, now he is thinking, there are two devotees. If I go to one devotee's home, the other devotee feels sad. So now that I have come from Dwarka to Mithila, Krishna and the sages expand into two forms. There are two sets. There are two Krishna, there are two sadhus, there are two Shukdev Goswamis. And one set goes to Shrutadev and one set goes to... This is Aishwarya. Just imagine, both did not know that there is another set, but the description is there are two sets right there on the spot. You know, the sages also expand the Supreme Lord. This is like a very great Aishwarya. But why is Krishna expanding and showing his Aishwarya? Only motivated by prema. He has so much love. So, generally we tend to think that this Aishwarya and prema are two categories and you know, they conflict. So either you are in Aishwarya or either you are in prema. So we decided to discuss a little bit on this. We are presenting another perspective. It's not that they are contradictory. It is that they assist each other, if we can see it that way. Krishna shows his Aishwarya only for the purpose of facilitating his prema. The same Mathuravasis who are so much attracted to Krishna's Aishwarya in the present set of shlokas, very soon after some time they are going to see Krishna as if out of fear. He constructs a fort city in the ocean, Dwarka. So you know, here they are glorifying the exploits of Krishna. Krishna killed the demons and Krishna pulled down the trees and Krishna destroyed fire, swallowed the fire. Krishna chastised serpent Kali. How great is Krishna? How amazing? How brave? And after some years, the same Krishna, as if in fear, is going to construct another city in the ocean. Now generally, you know, there's a description how anybody who would construct a fort, surrounding the fort, sometimes for protection purposes, he keeps some water body, a canal-like thing, so that it's very difficult to cross over. And generally there are crocodiles or sharks or something in that water, so to lessen the chances of attack. In the same Krishna book, we hear of Krishna and Satyabhama Devi. They go to kill the Mura demon. And this Mura demon's fort is protected by electrified barbed wire fences. And there is a water body like that. Now, sometimes we go to a close by city of Aurangabad for preaching. So there also there is a Daulatabad fort. And in, you know, the main fort is like this. And then there is a huge water body around it. You can't cross it. There is a bridge that was constructed by some king before. So, you know, these people, out of a feeling of protection, they have some quite wide water body. So it is as if, you know, Krishna has constructed a fort which is the whole ocean as that water body, you know, huge ocean. It can't be crossed so easily. So as if in fear. So how to understand this? Here, you know, he's displaying his Aishwarya one after another and they're attracted to that Aishwarya. And after some shlokas, Krishna is going to kill Chanur and Mushrik and Krishna is going to kill Kamsa alone and then drag him just to show that I have killed him. So he has so much Aishwarya in him, but just some time later these Mathuravasis will be forced to think, is he powerful? Why is he constructing a fort there out in the forest? That also is motivated by prema. He can handle the demons, but he does not want his devotees to be faced with everyday difficulties by the demons. Jarasandh is attacking, Kaliyavan is attacking. Why should the Mathuravasis face danger because of my presence? So Krishna killing the demons in Vrindavan, not to show his power, to protect his devotees. Krishna constructing the fort Dwarka, not to show his Aishwarya, to protect his devotees. All this Aishwarya is a means by which we can understand his prema. This is what we wanted to explain, what we wanted to present. Everywhere in these stories we are seeing Aishwarya used for the purpose of assisting prema, nourishing prema. This is the right use of Aishwarya. Krishna knows exactly when to display Aishwarya and when to hide Aishwarya. Something for us to learn is a family man. Let's consider the example of a family man. Let's consider a decent earning family man. We are not talking of super rich. We are not talking of super poor. So if he starts spending too much money today, he wants to show his prema for his family. Two effects. One is the present family, the present members of his family will indulge in bad habits because there is too free flow of money. That means he is killing them indirectly, slow poisoning. Sons, family members will get used to indulging in wasteful habits. So that's not good for them. And in the long run, because he's already spent so much money every day entertaining them, spoiling them, after some years when he will stop earning money, when there is a need, genuine need for money, there will be no money. So today he is killing them by a free flow, and tomorrow he'll kill them by starvation. So both ways it is harmful. So a person who wants to exhibit his prema and he wants to use his Aishwarya, we are seeing Krishna using his Aishwarya to facilitate prema. So he's saying, I love my family and all this money is for my family. So he splurges. But that's not of any use because they are getting killed today and they'll get killed tomorrow. What if he goes to the other extreme, that he keeps it, I can't spoil my family, I can't spend money on my family. 20 years from now when there is a genuine need, I need to spend money for my family. So he stocks it up. He's a miserly person. Today, they die out of envy for the father. So what a stingy person. What is he going to do with all this money? He'll never ever experience prema, which is his motivation. They'll not love him. They know how much money he has in the bank account, but he's not spending it. Yes? And tomorrow, when he dies, when all that money is just given to all his family members, but without the proper training of how to utilize it properly, they'll misuse it. If there is so much envy and if there is so much enmity with the father, probably they'll not even touch it. It's possible. If somebody says, this is the money that caused a rift between my father and me, I don't want it. So if one goes to one extreme of using all his Aishwarya for facilitating his prema, that is not prema, that is in fact violence. If one stocks up his Aishwarya saying, no, in my absence or even in my presence, tomorrow it will be useful, that also is not prema, that is also spoiling the whole affair. So what should a family man do with his money? He has to have a proper intelligence when he needs to spend money and when he does not need to spend money, when he needs to save money, is it not? So certain occasions like some festival at home, some special occasion, he should use his money for facilitating prema amongst his family members. But if he does that too much, it spoils the family. And let's say he starts spending money every day, that also is not good. So we see, it requires great expertise to handle Aishwarya. If the intention, the purpose is to facilitate prema, if the intention of showing off, spending Aishwarya is just to show to others how rich I am, yes, that is a successful affair. So for family people, it is very important to understand how to use Aishwarya to facilitate prema. At the risk of saving money, a family man cannot lose his relationships with his family members. At the same time, thinking that no, tomorrow they will understand how much I saved, but tomorrow never comes, as they say. No, that day might never come when the son actually develops appreciation for the father. The gap becomes so much that even if he sees, yes, what my father did for me was very good, the gap is so wide that he finds it difficult to cross over that gap. Even for us also, those who are not married, in our relationships also this will be good for us to understand that we have certain powers, we have certain facilities which we can control. And if we just talk up those facilities, if I have a book and then somebody wants to read that book, so if I just hide it somewhere and never show it to anybody, that will widen the gap between me and my friend. What if, in the name of just sharing everything that I have with everyone, I just share anything and everything? What if I share some deep book with some neophyte devotee? So he comes to me and says, Prabhuji, I saw that book, that special book, some Rasika book. He says, I want that book. And in the name of sharing whatever I have, yes, we should be selfless. And then I share that some special book which contains some esoteric commentaries and all that with some new... he might get puzzled, he might get disturbed. So if I really want to help some brahmachari friend, I cannot share everything that I have with everyone. At the same time, I cannot lock up everything that I have not to share it with everyone. It requires intelligence, it requires maturity to understand with whom to share what. A very nice understanding of balance is required. We hear of Dhritarashtra's prema for Duryodhan. So much love for putra prem, putra sneha. Kya kya nahi kiya usne apne bete ke liye. One interesting fact is, even after Yudhishthir Maharaj was crowned the king, after the Mahabharata war, Dhritarashtra sat on the throne and ruled the throne for 8 years. So what happened to that putra sneha? What happened to all that love? So the son is not there. All his 100 sons are killed. His family members have been killed. But his dhrita rashtra. Rashtra means the country. Representative is thrown. Dhrita means holds on steadfastly. So it means all the conspiracies were partly motivated by prema, but quite good amount of it was motivated by selfishness. That's why even when the sons are not there, for whom this whole thing was made, shamelessly he's sitting on the throne. And then Vidur comes and says, don't you understand, you're living like a dog? And then he leaves. So much for the love between Duryodhan and Karna. So when Karna needs something, he needs, you know, he said, you are not a king. You don't rule over any kingdom, so you cannot participate. You are not one amongst us. What does Duryodhan do? Out of seemingly selflessness, he says, yes, I pronounce you right here in front of everyone, the king of Anga. So he's giving the kingdom to Karna. So Karna feels, wow, what a friend. A friend in need is a friend indeed. This is my moment of need, when I wanted to be a ruler and he is helping me. So he is so indebted to Duryodhan. He says, alright, now whole life I am a slave of Duryodhan's words. Now interesting thing is, although Karna was made Anga Raj, we never hear of Karna ever going to Anga Pradesh. Yes? So he is crowned Anga Raj. You are the king of Anga. After that what does he do? He stays there only. He's assisting Duryodhan in all his conspiracies. Now, if you are a king, and if you are a little responsible king, go to the kingdom. Manage the affairs there. What happened to the, you know, one wonders, what happened to the Anga Pradesh? Without a king. Their king is crowned, but he's sitting there in Hastinapur. He never went to Anga Pradesh. So it means, Karna's acceptance of Duryodhan's gift is not out of love. It is out of selfishness. Duryodhan's giving gift to Karna is not to help him or anything. He wants another pawn to be used in the chess game against the Pandavas. They are using their facilities in one sense to show their prema. Duryodhan is showing his Aishwarya to show his prema to Karna. Dhritarashtra is showing his Aishwarya, his power as a king. He keeps quiet during the attempted disrobing of Draupadi. He could have intervened, not as an elder, as a king. When the king says, everyone has to obey. He did not do that. So it seems he is using his powers to facilitate prema. But we showed how it is not prema. It is just selfishness. Whereas Krishna, whenever he displays Aishwarya, it is only for one purpose. That is prema. And that's why, if prema is made shithil by Aishwarya, he rejects that Aishwarya. He says, I don't want to display my Aishwarya. So the purpose is not to display Aishwarya. The purpose is to facilitate prema. Since we are talking about family, so we are explaining how Krishna also does so nicely with his family of devotees. Those with eyes of love, premanjana, even in Aishwarya, they see prema. One example is in Srirangam. There was a Brahman and he used to read the Gita. So generally, as we were mentioning in the initial part of the class, Vrindavan is a place of Madhurya. And outside Vrindavan is a place of Aishwarya. So what is Kurukshetra? Primarily Aishwarya. But this Brahman, as he is reading the Gita, Shuddha Shuddha Gita Padi, Guru Ragyamani. Vipra kahe ami murka shabdartha na jani, Shuddha Shuddha Gita Padi, Guru Ragyamani. So, you know, he is holding the Gita upside down. He is reading the Gita like this. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is visiting Srirangam. And he says, hey, what is this? He does not know even how to hold the book properly. But he saw one amazing thing. His eyes were moist. So Mahaprabhu is attracted to this Brahman. And he says, how come you are experiencing so much ecstasy while reading a book which you don't even know how to hold properly? Obviously you are not reading the letters there. So what is it that is inspiring you so much? So this Brahman, he says, Arjunera kahite chena hita upadesh. Krishna is speaking. Hita upadesh.
तारे देखी है अमोर आनंद आवेश.
सो वन विल एक्सपेक्ट ओके माधुर्य इज वृंदावन आउटसाइड वृंदावन इज ऐश्वर्य. सो दे वॉट इज कुरुक्षेत्र इन अ डिस्प्ले ऑफ पॉवर दैट इज द प्लेस वेयर कृष्णा विल शो हिज विराट रूप. बट इन दैट होल एक्सचेंज इवन ऑन ए बैटल फील्ड दिस डिवोटी इज सीइंग हाउ अमेजिंग इज इट दैट द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड कृष्णा इज स्पीकिंग हित उपदेश टू अर्जुन. एंड इन ऑर्डर टू स्पीक दैट हित उपदेश हितोपदेश टू अर्जुन he even created a kind of an atmosphere where Arjun first got bewildered and then he asked questions. And we know why did this whole thing, why was it staged? So that you and me can benefit for all time to come. It means this Krishna, this Supreme Lord is a very dexterous, is a very amazing person. There are different ways to express love. The general way which we feel to express love is to embrace somebody, laughing, joking, clapping our hands. Where were you? I was missing you so long. No, none of these things are happening on the chariot, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. There is no slapping of arms, there is no slapping of anything like that. There is no embracing, there is nothing like that. But it is an expression of love. One devotee in the Western world, you know, he has composed some kind of a poem on the Bhagavad Gita. He calls it the song of love. This Gita is not moral instruction. This is a song of love. And this Brahman in Srirangam could see that. So he is saying, this is Ananda. Just seeing this love of Krishna for Arjuna, I am overwhelmed with love. So even when this is a setting of Aishwarya, this devotee is seeing Prema. So this is what Krishna does. Krishna uses Aishwarya only and only if it facilitates Prema. It's not that he is attached to Aishwarya. It is not that he hates Aishwarya. Whatever works. Whatever is necessary. And his devotees also, they can recognize with their pure vision. Even in situations where there is primarily Aishwarya, there is a war going to happen and there is all these kettle drums and this and that. Within all that, this devotee is seeing Prema. So this is something that we wanted to offer today. When Krishna and Balaram, the next part, which is 31 and 32, where Chanur, he cannot tolerate Krishna and Balaram being glorified in such nice words by the Mathura Vasis. So out of envy, he speaks something. When Krishna and Balaram are being glorified in this way, it is too much for Chanur. He himself is also a very strong person. He has been employed specially by Kamsa for such purposes. So see, they are powerful, they are strong. Don't you know how powerful I am? Do you know how much strength I have? These two 11-year-old boys, just wait for some time. I'll show you who is powerful. So as if motivated by that mood, he is speaking. One effect that could have happened on Chanur when he is singing all, when he is hearing all these glories of Krishna and Balaram, when he sees them with the tusks of Kulaya Peed, he could have asked Krishna and Balaram, I see that you are very expert in fighting and I am also a fighter. Can you teach me fighting? I would want to learn from you. So he may not become a devotee, because to become a devotee you have to associate with devotees and they did not associate with any devotee. You don't become a devotee by associating with the Supreme Lord. You become a devotee by associating with other devotees. So so very difficult to expect Chanur and Mushtik, just by seeing Krishna and Balaram, to become a devotee. At least they could have seen them as teachers for fighting skills. But they did not do that. In fact, it aroused the greatest envy in their hearts. So yesterday was Hanuman Jayanti. So we wanted to speak a little bit in this connection related to Hanumanji's life. So this is an incident from the Mahabharata. The Pandavas, except Arjun, are in Badrika Ashram, and as they are sitting, a 1,000-petaled lotus flower flies and falls into Draupadi's lap. And Draupadi looks at that beautiful golden lotus flower. She says, wow, what a beautiful lotus. And Arjun is not there, so the next powerful person is Bhim. So she requests Bhim, can you get me some more so that we can carry with us? He says, of course. He has been long troubled by the fact that Draupadi, who has been a princess all her life, has now been forced to live an ascetic life in the forest because she is married to them. Also, he remembers the insults that happened to Draupadi in Hastinapur. So this is his chance to offer some solace, to fulfill a wish of his dear wife. So Bhim says, of course I'll do that. And he starts running in the direction. There are big mountains there. This is Badrika Ashram. So as he starts running, there's a cool breeze blowing and there's fresh air. So it is described, usually when a person starts climbing, he gets fatigued. But as Bhim is climbing, he's getting more and more rejuvenated. And as he's climbing, you know, there are some wild animals on the way. So he just pushes them aside. If some wild animal obstructs his way, he just, you know, throws them here. And then he reaches, after some time he reaches some kind of a plateau where he sees this big forest of plantain trees. And in the distance he sees some water birds flying off into the sky because of his roaring sound. He's making some sounds of joy. So this is a clear indication there is a water body nearby. So he goes to that water body. It is filled with lotuses. He dives into the water body. As he takes a dive in the cool, refreshing waters, he's rejuvenated more. He's feeling fresh. But when he looks at the lotus flowers, they are not the lotus flowers that he wanted. So he comes out and again continues his journey. As he continues his journey, he reaches one place where now he is, you know, he's more and more joyful. He's saying, now I got it, now I got it, now I'll please Draupadi. But as he's going ahead, suddenly he sees on his path is a monkey looking very old and his tail is obstructing the way. Now Bhim is a very powerful person. He has killed somebody like Kichak. And it was just an impossibility to kill Kichak. In fact, you know, the Hastinapur Vasis, they had a doubt and they made a march on this particular country where they were hiding, understanding that Kichak was killed. They said, who can kill Kichak? Kichak is so powerful. It must be Bhim, and that's why, you know, that's from where the doubt started. So he was an invincible person, but Bhim just killed him. So here he is being obstructed by a monkey. Now obviously, what is the thought that will come to your mind? I am a warrior, who can stand in my way? And what to speak of a monkey? Something like what Chanur is thinking when he is facing Krishna. So he says, who are you? Get out of my way. Why do you disturb me? So this monkey slowly opens his eyes and he says, well, I am not obstructing your way and don't disturb me. I am taking rest here. Also, I am very old. Don't you have any etiquette? This is how you talk with elderly people. And you are a human being, I am a monkey. So in one sense, I am weaker to you. So a brave man does not show his bravery to those who are weak. A brave man shows his bravery with those who are equals or superiors. So now all these words, this is not the time to hear all these words, especially for Bhim. He's on a victory march. So he says, just move aside. Don't invite trouble. I'll show you who I am. So he says, all right, you know what to do. If you feel like this, this monkey speaks in a very lazy voice. If you want, do what you want, you can do. This is my tail, you move it aside. So it is mentioned how Bhim very carelessly, with his left hand, you know, all these details are given, he just takes hold of that tail as if to flick it aside. But as he takes that tail in his hand, he understands he can't even budge it. It's not moving even an inch. So he puts his second hand. Now this itself is something very strange for Bhim to use his two hands. So he has his two hands and now he's trying to move the tail. Monkey's tail. It's not a gada. It's not a weapon. It's not a tree. So he's trying to move. It's not moving. So his lips are drying up and there is perspiration on his face, which generally does not happen to Bhim. Finally he understands very soon, this is something special. When this was happening, for a moment he had a doubt, is this Hanuman? Seeing that monkey. But he felt Hanuman was from the previous age. It must have been at least 10 million years. We don't know when Ram Leela happened, assuming it happened in the middle. And this Mahabharata happened at the end of the Dwapar Yuga. So the complete Dwapar Yuga and half of Treta Yuga. He must be millions of years old. Cannot be. So finally, when he cannot do anything, he joins his palms, says, "Are you some Siddha? Are you some demigod? Who are you? Maybe you are some Rakshas. Please tell me. Reveal to me. Actually, I seek refuge and I am your disciple. Shishyasteham shadi mam tvam prapannam." Seeing these words of Bhima and neglecting all his actions, Hanuman says, "Yes, I am Hanuman." And then Bhima is so happy to meet Hanuman. And then there is a conversation that happens. But what we wanted to focus on is that when Bhima is showing his power as a warrior, and Hanuman is not interested in showing his power. Why should a powerful person show his power, especially when it is unnecessary? When somebody challenges for adharmic purposes, then he can show his power. So when there is no need, you know, he's just silent. He's saying, no, if you want, you do it yourself. But as soon as he surrenders, Hanuman says, "Yes, I am Hanuman," and he blesses Bhima. He says, "In the future, whenever you will roar, my roar will be added to your roar. It will strike terror in the hearts of those who hear your roar, and also on top of Arjun's chariot, I will be there." He blesses Hanuman, he blesses Bhima with these. But till the time, Bhima was not ready to surrender, was not ready to learn, was not ready to present himself. The blessings did not come, even the identity was not revealed. So there are two effects of Ajnana. One is Avaran and one is Vikshep. So first there is Avaran. Avaran means you don't understand what is what. And then Vikshep means what happens after you are in Avaran. So generally when we don't know somebody properly, then we have an improper understanding of that person. That is Avaran. And then we start dealing with that person in a very loose way. That is Vikshep. Sometimes it is also called Viparyas. So all the problems that happen in our dealings with fellow devotees or with non-devotees, it's all because of Vikshep. You know, we don't know who that person is and we are taking him cheaply. We are taking him lightly. But that is because of the Avaran. And what is that Avaran? Avaran means we are not understanding who that person is. We are seeing him on the face value. Vanar hai ye to. Yes? So, we wanted to present how, unless you understand who Krishna is, we will always take him cheaply. Charnu did not understand who Krishna is. He just saw he's a, maybe something happened and he overpowered this elephant. He does not know who Krishna is. So there is Avaran of Ajnan. And then there is Vikshep. He says, "Who are you? I'll show you who I am." But if he could have just appreciated Krishna for his fighting skills, he could have surrendered to Krishna right there and said, "Not as God, I don't want to become a devotee. Just teach me fighting skills," and Krishna could have taught him. So, what we wanted to, the connection was that in the previous part, the first half of the class was how Krishna has Aishwarya and has Prema, but he only manifests his Aishwarya when it will facilitate or increase Prema. If Prema is cut down by Aishwarya, he hides that Aishwarya. But because this is not known to Chanur, that Aishwarya, he wants to challenge that Aishwarya. He could have been motivated. Oh, Krishna is a person who shows his Aishwarya only when there is a need to facilitate Prema. So if I show some Prema, if I show some surrender, he will hide that Aishwarya. He will not fight with me. He will not kill me. But since he does not have that knowledge, in Vikshepa, he challenges, he abuses. And just like Hanuman never, responded to Bhima in the same way by showing how powerful he is. He said, "No, I'm just an ordinary monkey. I'm just tired. I'm old now. Just move my tail." Similarly, in the succeeding shlokas also, Krishna says, "Oh, actually, we are just forest boys. We are just fond of playing." He does not say, "I am the Supreme Lord." He also hides his identity. If you want to hide your identity, alright, no problem. Ye yatha. I'll also hide my identity. Interestingly, when Hanuman also meets Ram for the first time, he hides his identity. So what does Ram do? Ram also hides his identity. And then how did I not recognize you? So Ram says, "Because you try to disguise yourself. So that's why you could not see me. I am what I am." We have a last point. Something that we can remember from this class. The onus is on us. When we envy Krishna, actually we don't do any harm to Krishna. We end up envying ourselves. What is this envying ourselves? When we envy somebody, we deprive that person of some benefits. Is it not? So if I envy somebody, I dislike him, then I'll not share some of my facilities with him. So when we envy Krishna, because Krishna is the source of everyone, we end up envying ourselves. It means we deprive ourselves of benefits. So we have a small story in this regard, very short. There was once a blacksmith or an ironsmith. These are the people who work on iron. And he used to purchase some bread from a local bakery to eat. He's very busy with his work, so he does not have much time to do anything else. But one day, there's some less work, and as he gets some bread, he feels that aaj thoda bread kam aaya hai. He feels today's bread is a little less. So, first time in his life, he's weighing that bread. He says, okay, let's weigh this bread. So he finds out the bread is a little less in weight. He ordered 1 kg and it was a little bit less than, maybe 950 or something. So he says, how dare the bakery person do this to me? So off he marches to the bakery and asks this bakery, you know what, this is the loaf of bread that you gave me. I take bread from you every day. I don't know how many others also have been taking bread from you, and for years together I have been taking bread from you, and today for the first time in my life I weighed the bread and it was less. How could you do this? So there is a very puzzled expression on the bakery person's face, and he says, really? The bread was less? I'm surprised. How is it like this? So don't make a face like this. Don't play games with me. Show me your weighing scale. So alright, those were the days of yore. So, you know, he had a weighing scale with 2 pans on this side. So there is a weight here, and he puts the bread here, and he puts a 1 kg weight here. Perfectly balanced. Just see, I'm honest. So the weighing, this ironsmith, this blacksmith, he says, how come it is like this? So he takes that weight, and then he sees that iron weight was made in his own foundry. So then he understands, all this time when I was making weights and I was giving those weights, I was at fault. I did not make weights properly. So what goes around comes around. Now I am at loss. No, I have been suffering. And for this one person's mistake, he did not make the weight properly, so many people in the city also suffered. So here we are comparing the bread supplier to Krishna, because Krishna is the one who's supplying to everyone, who's nourishing all of us. So when we become stingy, or when we become careless in our dealings with Krishna, in serving Krishna, Krishna is not at fault. He has unlimited bread with him to feed himself, but you know, it will come to us. We will get less facilities. It is in our interest that we serve Krishna selflessly, as much as we can, as much as is allowed by our position. When we are casual in our dealings with Krishna, there are casualties. We suffer. People also suffer. So it is only fitting that when somebody like Krishna, who has unlimited Aishwarya, hides that Aishwarya, if it kills prema, and shows that Aishwarya, if it manifests more and more prema, how much more should we be inspired to show our prema to Krishna? And if possible, whatever little Aishwarya we have, we can use it in Krishna's service whenever and wherever possible. We'll end with one line from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. In one context, Radhanath Maharaj said, these are his exact words, in this material world, things can be an incredible spiritual medium between devotees and Krishna. When things are used properly and offered to Krishna properly, incredible things can happen. Incredible events, situations, environments can be created where there are nice facilities, but those facilities don't pull the devotees down, they uplift the devotees. So in the beginning we just saw how, generally speaking, Vrindavan is Madhurya, outside Vrindavan is Aishwarya, and Krishna can do whatever he wants. He does not like Aishwarya Shithila Prema. But we discussed that example from Mithila, how Krishna is present as the Paramatma in Shrutadeva and Bahulashwa's heart. He also manifests as a deity for Shrutadeva and Bahulashwa. But that prem is more and then he goes there personally. And the Mathuravasis very soon, although today they are attracted to Aishwarya of Krishna, very soon they are going to see Krishna as if in fear, he builds the Dwarka fort. And then we saw some lesson from that as family men or any one of us who is in any relationship with anybody, we have some Aishwarya, but that Aishwarya, if we splurge it too much, it does not help the relationship. If we stock it up too much, it does not help the relationship. We should become expert in dealing with our facilities so that it always helps the other person come closer and closer to us. It facilitates prema. Then we saw the example of how even in a situation of Aishwarya, the Kurukshetra war, this Brahman, because he has love in his eyes, he saw love there. Ananda Avesh. And then we saw how Chanur and Mushtik, because they don't have any appreciation for Krishna, they hold back. They don't even want to learn the art, the skill of fighting from Krishna. So they challenge. And then we saw the example in connection with Hanuman Jayanti, how Hanumanji shows this principle that unless you have a favorable feeling, it won't be revealed. And then there are problems. But Bhim, because he's a gentleman, there is some initial resistance. But then as soon as he surrenders, Hanuman says, I bless you. Similarly, Krishna could have blessed Chanur and Mushtik, but then it does not happen. At the end, we saw how, through the example of the ironsmith and the bakery person, when we offer less to Krishna, we get less, not Krishna. So we'll stop here. If somebody has any comments or any questions, then we can take a few questions. The class is officially ended because it is over time. If he wants to discuss, then.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice class. My understanding is that the love of devotees in Vrindavan, it is completely, you know, free from Aishwarya. They don't know that they don't consider him as God, the Supreme Person. They just consider him as their intimate friend, their child or their lover. But the devotees who are in Mathura or in Dwarka or in Shrutadeva Bahulasho, like that, they have some knowledge that he is the Supreme Lord. No, that knowledge is there, and their prem has that aspect of Aishwarya. They love him as the Supreme Lord. So, the verse from CC that you quoted, Aishwarya Shithili Prema Nahi Mora Prita, that is especially Krishna of Vrindavan who is thinking that I do not find happiness, I do not find affection in such prema, which is having that Aishwarya aspect in it. So, that's why he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to give the Vraja Prema, which is completely free from this Aishwarya and intimate love of like Vrajavasis. That's what we know. So.
Thank you. We are very grateful for this comment. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai.